of 1 Thessalonians chapter number 3. 1 Thessalonians chapter number 3. Let's stand. We'll honor the reading of the Word of God tonight found in 1 Thessalonians chapter number 3. Paul's writing this letter now. He says, "Wherefore, when we could no longer forbear, we thought it good to be left at Athens alone. And I sent Timothy, our brother and minister of God, our fellow laborer in the gospel of Christ, to establish you and to comfort you concerning your faith, that no man should be moved by these afflictions, for yourselves know that we are appointed thereunto. For verily, when we were with you, we told you before that we should suffer tribulation, even as it came to pass, as you know. For this cause, when I could no longer forbear, I sent to know your faith, lest by some means the tempter have tempted you, and our labor be in vain. Now when Timotheus came from unto us, and brought us good tidings of your faith and charity, that you have good remembrance of us always, desiring greatly to see us, as we also to see you. Therefore, brethren, we were comforted over you in all our affliction and distress by your faith. For now we live, and you stand fast in the Lord. For what thanks can we render to God again for you, for all the joy wherewith we joy for your sakes before our God, night and day praying exceedingly, that ye might see your face and might perfect that which is lacking in your faith." You may be seated tonight. Father, we love you. We thank you for the good hand of God today. We thank you for the grace of God. Lord, how you've helped us, I want to pray for the Overton family tonight. God, as they board that plane and leave everything that they know and love here, I pray that, Lord, you'd be extra special to this family. Protect them, protect their children. I pray, oh God, you'd open doors for them that need to be opened and close those that need to be closed. Help us now in the Word of God tonight. Thank you, Lord, for helping us this morning. Touch our hearts. Help us to be a blessing tonight. I pray you'd give us traveling safety this week. And, oh God, I pray that you'd touch hearts. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. Do you notice in verse number 10, Paul has admonished this church. Paul had went to Thessalonica on a mission journey. He had won folks to the Lord, and God had started a church in Thessalonica. Now, from Corinth, Paul is writing, and he sends this letter to this young and this early church. He commends them of what they had been doing, but then he tells them about their afflictions and the things that they had went through. And I want to remind everybody tonight, just because you love Jesus don't mean that afflictions won't come. And more than apt, if you serve Christ, afflictions will come from this old world. But then Paul says something, verse number 10, that got my attention. He says that to perfect that which is lacking in your faith. Now, all through Bible college, I was taught that Thessalonica was the model church, and I've preached it several times, and no doubt there's a lot of things there that they could be a model church. I want you to look at this real briefly tonight, a few things about this church in Thessalonica. First of all, in chapter 1 and verse number 8, they had a great reputation. Paul told them in 1 Thessalonians 1 and 8, "From you sounded out the word of the Lord, not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but also in every place your faith to Godward, said it spread abroad so that we need not to speak anything." Now this church, they had great reputation. Chapter 2, verse 14, they had tribulation. Paul is writing to them and he says this, "For you brethren became followers of the churches of God, which in Judea are in Christ Jesus, for ye also have suffered like things of your own countrymen, even as they have of the Jews." Now they had turned from Judaism and they were serving and following Christ. The world didn't like them and the Jews didn't like them. They had suffered great tribulation for the cause of Christ. And here in this church, they were a church of great reputation. They were a church of tribulation. But they were also a church of great compassion in chapter 3 in verse number 12, Paul commends them and he says, "And the Lord make you to increase and abound in love one toward another and toward all men, even as we do toward you." They had great compassion. Then in chapter 4, verse number 9, this church at Thessalonica had great ministration. They were big in ministry. And I'm going to tell you, God always blesses a mission-minded people. And we see in 1 Thessalonians 4, in verse number 9, "But as touching brotherly love, you need not that I write unto you, for ye yourselves are taught of God to love one another. And indeed you do it toward all the brethren, which are in all Macedonia, that we beseech you, brethren, that you increase more and more." Now, not only were they a church of great ministration, but they were a church of great expectation. In chapter 5, verse number 1, Paul writes, and he says, "But of the times and the seasons, brethren, you have no need that I write unto you. For yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night." And so they were a church of great expectation. And a church that is operating in this capacity, yet Paul said there's something lacking in your faith. I think a lot of times when we feel like that we've done so much in a community and in a world, and we've done so much for families and ministries, a lot of times we forget about who we are and what we are and what we're doing. And a lot of times our faith just grows stagnant. It stays complacent. Now it's amazing as this church had had this type of attributes about it, but yet Paul admonished them about that there seemed to be some things lacking in their faith. As I analyze my faith tonight with the Word of God, I wonder where I find myself lacking in faith. We know the Bible says that without faith it's impossible to please God. We must have faith in order to be saved. We must have faith in order to believe that God is, and God is tonight. I can't get off of this morning. Our God is able, but if not, we've got to believe in a God when situations don't work out. We've got to know and trust God by that of faith. The Bible says it's given every man a measure of faith. So here is Paul's writing. I just want to share a few brief things with you tonight. First of all, in chapter 5, and we'll be now in chapter 5 of 1 Thessalonians, verse number 6, he spoke to them about relaxation. How are we lacking in faith? How could a church that's doing all these great things for Christ, how could they be lacking in faith? Well, Paul says in chapter 5, verse number 6, he talked to them about relaxation. Look what he says. He says, "Therefore, let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch." Now, this thing of relaxation, let us not sleep, he has to do with spiritual slumber. It has to do with that spiritual and moral laxity. Now, notice this. Sleep is for those in the dark, not for those in the day. I'm going to tell you tonight, one way many times that we lack in our faith is way that we relax in the things of God. We ought to be diligent, be upon our toes, and remember Jesus is coming. It's just nothing that's been written in a book. Jesus is coming. And all signs point to that in this day and this hour. So what's lacking in their faith? Paul talks about that of relaxation. And then look what he says also in verse number 6, as do others. Let's look what he says, chapter 5, verse number 6, "Therefore let us not sleep as do others." Now, we ought to be different. Deviation. We ought to be alert. This cautions us. And my goodness, we ought not do as others do, as the world does. Believers are not to act like unbelievers. He's speaking of an unholy life. Oh my, he says, let us not sleep as do others. We ought to be different than others. And then notice he talks about observation. He says, let us watch. Watch. to be alert, cautious, careful, lest temptation would ensnare them. Can I remind you that the devil is not our friend, he is our enemy. I come across the parking lot with two of the church children. They said, "Preacher, I don't like the devil." I said, "Baby, I don't like the devil either. Every day of my life, he's trying to ensnare me and entrap me. And he's not our friend. He is an enemy." And oh, tonight, how we need to realize that we need to grow in observation. Beware. Be careful. The devil is seeking whom he may devour. Then he says something in verse number 6 about intoxication. And be sober. Look what he said in verse 8 again. "But let us who are of the day be sober." He spoke about it twice on intoxication. Now, I want to say something. In order to be intoxicated, you've got to take one drink. A lot of people, they believe in social drinking, and I want to say something. The Bible teaches us that we should abstain from the practices of drinking. I don't pull no punches about it tonight. A drunkard got to be a drunkard because he took one drink. I'll guarantee you there's people that is killed daily because of drunk driving. It destroys lives. Young people, you get to social drinking. Before long, it'll become a habit, it'll become a lifestyle, and it'll take you to places that you thought it'd never take you tonight. And therefore, Paul talks about we must grow our faith. He talks about intoxication. And then, look in verse number 8, he talks about fortification. "But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love." Now, the believer must be armed. We must be armed in order to fight this evil society. You know, I don't mean to keep banging the drum, but I will anyway since I'm the preacher here. This world wants you. This world wants you, church. This world wants you, preacher. This world wants you to sit down and be quiet. And we that are the day must put on the breastplate of righteousness. Oh my, how we need to stand against this godless society in this day that we live tonight. He talks about fortification, putting on that breastplate of faith. And then, look what he says in verse number 11. He's telling them how to increase their faith. They're lacking in faith. Not only that about fortification, but he talks about that of consolation. Now, watch your Bible, church. Verse number 11, chapter 5. "Wherefore, comfort yourselves together." And that's something. He's going to use a little different term in a moment, but right now he says, "Comfort yourselves together." You know what that means? It means being a part of. That's why we need a church to go to tonight. That's why we have friends. A man that has friends must show himself friendly. And I don't know about y'all, but sometimes I need to cry on somebody's shoulder. Sometimes I need compassion in my life. You need compassion in your life. And we need to comfort one another. How can we comfort one another? With scriptures. With praying. With assuring one another. Somebody asked me the other day, I said, "How do you and Brother Mike get along so good?" I said, "Oh, so easy. Brother Mike is so balanced, and I'm like a roller coaster. I'm on the top or I'm on the bottom." There's been many times I've asked that preacher, "Brother Mike, reckon we're going to make it?" He said, "Oh, we're going to make it, preacher." I say, hallelujah. I thank God for some folks that can comfort you in tribulation whenever devil's headed your way. Ain't you glad you got some brothers and sisters in Christ that'll step up and comfort you in Zion tonight? It's easy to say, "Go away, crybaby." Let me tell you something. We need to learn to comfort one another tonight. We need to grow up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. We need to realize that we need to strengthen and comfort together. That means support. When one of us cries, we all ought to cry. That's how close we ought to be in our church. When one rejoices, we all ought to rejoice. We ought to be so close in this church. If Brother Adam had a bellyache, I could take a Rolaid and it'd cure him. Somebody say amen. And I'm going to tell you tonight, comfort together. And we must realize many times lacking in our faith is that of consolation. We can comfort one another with our words and our ways. Had a preacher call me this week. He said they called for a preacher's meeting. I wasn't invited. Just lived right down the street. He was devastated. No doubt the preacher didn't mean to leave him out. But let me tell you something. We must be careful that we don't leave others out. We do everything we can do to make people feel apart and alive and appreciated in the house of God. We don't get anywhere by having cliques and associations. That's the way churches are divided. It's not you and them and us. We're all together. We're in the body of Christ. He's the head. Thank God we're going one direction tonight. Boy, we need to learn that to increase our faith by consolation, comforting yourselves together. Then verse number 11, I told you that his terms would change. He says, comfort yourselves together and edify one another even as also ye do. Not only is there consolation, but there's edification. Edify one another. It means to build and to construct. We ought to not tear down. If you can't say something positive to somebody, keep your mouth shut. If you can't be a blessing, hush. Say, that's a good piano player. That's good singing. Them little young'uns got up and sung this morning. We ought to cheerlead them on for Christ. They cheerlead them at the ball games. We ought to thank them at the house of God when they do right. Oh, my edification. Then he said, verse number 11, he said, I'll tell you another thing, it's about education. He said, we beseech you, brethren, to know them which labor among you and are over you in the Lord and admonish you. Esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake and be at peace among yourselves. Verse 13, he talked about admiration, to esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake and again, be at peace among yourselves. We ought to admire church leaders. We ought to teach our children to respect them. You ought to teach your children to call you preacher, not by first name, but pastor or brother or preacher. Show respect. The doctors get respect in town. You ought to teach your children. Show respect to those in leadership and authority. Teach them to say, yes, sir, no, ma'am, yes, ma'am. It'll go a long way with them in life. Oh, my goodness, admiration. Then verse 13, he talked about conciliation. Be at peace among yourselves. Anybody can fuss and fight and not get along. Sometimes it takes a bigger person. I'm a preacher in the pulpit. Lord, I know to get quiet then. Amen. My goodness tonight, be at peace among yourselves. Isn't it a blessing to lay down in the bed with peace with your brothers and sisters? Paul says, have peace among yourselves. Then, look at this, verse 14. He talked about toleration. Now we exhort you, brethren, warn them that are unruly. Comfort the feeble-minded. Support the weak and be patient toward all men. Sometimes it's hard to be patient. Let me ask y'all something. As your children learn to walk, did they ever fall down? Did you get up and knock them down because they fell down? No, you helped them up. Said, you'll make it. That's the way we ought to be doing to all of our young Christians and those that are weak in the faith. Cheering them along and helping them walk for the honor and the glory of God. Encourage them. Paul's talking about that thing of having toleration. Be patient. Then verse 15, y'all gonna love this, retaliation. Watch this. This is one of the hardest verses I've ever read in the Bible. See that none render evil for evil unto any man. Now, I want to say something tonight about your redneck preacher. I want to be as honest with you as I know how to be. It's hard to practice this Bible sometimes, but it's still right to practice it. When somebody does you wrong, it's our character to get even. The Bible don't teach about getting even. You hear me tonight? The Bible don't teach about holding a grudge. Let it go. Let God deal with it. God knows how to push buttons, men, you don't know how to tonight. Retaliation. How many times have I got in trouble because I did it myself? Then verse 15, sanctification. See that none render evil for evil on any man, but ever follow that which is good. The believer is to pursue good. Look in verse 16. There's jubilation. Rejoice evermore. Isn't that something? Rejoicing is better than grumbling. Let me say that again. That was weak. Rejoicing is better than grumbling. Rejoice evermore. Rejoice that your name's written down yonder in glory. Rejoice that God's looking about you. You know, I was talking with a man this week and I said, isn't it amazing how things look so bad sometimes where we live? But it don't take you long to look out the window and see somebody having a lot worse time than we are. Cut me off, Brother Jason. It's amazing how that Paul's writing, rejoice evermore. Realize your name is written down. And I know I've been at times where I couldn't raise my hand, I couldn't shout. But I tell you what I could do, I could always remember how good God's been to me in my heart. Tonight he talks about that of jubilation. And then verse 17, Brother Vince, he speaks about supplication. Pray without ceasing. Pray without ceasing. Then verse 18, he talks about appreciation in everything. Underline that in your Bible. It's a hard verse to live by. In everything, give thanks. Isn't that amazing? God, we know you're able, but if not, we're going to thank you that you're God. And you're seeing about me in times and when I can't even be seeing about myself. And God, you're working things out for my good. When I don't understand it, God, you're still God and you're working things out. And Lord, I need to thank you in everything. I need to give thanks. This is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Appreciation. You know, we ought to teach our children to appreciate things. If there's anything that I see in a generation, they're so unappreciative. We ought to be teaching our children, our grandchildren, how to appreciate the blessings of God. And there's just not a money tree growing in the yard. Amen? God's been good to us. And we ought to give thanks for it. In everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God. Do you bow your head and pray publicly? You ought to. God will use that Christian witness. You youngins at school, I want to encourage you to pray at your dinner table. Your little schoolmates will see you praying. They may get interested in God. Be a witness. Lastly, that appreciation. But now he says something in verse 19. He talks about supplication. Sure does. Quench not the Spirit. You see, this is any action in our life that hinders the Lord from working. Quench not the Spirit. How we need the Spirit of God to lead us in these days. Isn't it a blessing to go to church where the Spirit of God moves? Wouldn't it be so bad if we had to go to a place that was just everything mechanical? You couldn't change any of the arrangements. Wouldn't give God any room to work and do as He sees fit. We must realize that we must stay filled with the Spirit and mind the Spirit of God. And let me tell you, if the Lord's telling you to do something, it'll always be right, but it will always line up with that Bible I'm preaching out of. Now, I appreciate you being here tonight. I appreciate the good day today. I appreciate how the Lord's blessed us. And I thank Him. We've still got a Bible. We can read and preach and teach and enjoy in this day and this hour. Remember our service.